Hi, welcome back. Hopefully on this occasion you can finally see my pretty face. We've bought a new camera and got everything sorted out finally, so I'm hoping the content will be a little bit clearer, especially the location video, I should say. Today I'm in yet another field. I seem to spend most of my life in fields these days. And we're going to be photographing this tree in the background. I've been asked by one of my stock libraries to do a series of pictures over the next 12 months of a set of trees at different stages in the different seasons. So I found this this location. I've left it a bit late, to be honest. We've been waiting for the weather to break, and it's been quite rainy here. We've got a little bit of brighter conditions this last couple of days, but this afternoon in about a couple of hours we've got quite a bad storm forecast, and I'm a bit concerned we're going to lose what leaves we've got left in the trees. So I've had a bit of a rush out today and try and get some shots just in the bag, just in case we do lose all the leaves and I can't obviously redo the shots. So we found this location. We're going to be using a 70 to 200 mil lens on this shot. Basically, the reason for that is that I want to compress the foreground field here and the tree and also the background, and by using a longer lens we can do that. We can compress the planes there, so that will help hopefully give us a nice strong composition. So we're going to give that a go, and I'll give you a little bit of a panning shot around and show you some of the settings on the camera. Hi, welcome back. Well, we completed the shoot. The storm that was forecast did come in, and it was extremely bad. But luckily, quite a few of the leaves stayed on the trees. But I got my shot, so I wasn't overly worried. I eventually went out overall. I managed to get out to three locations in the end. And I'm going to show you one of the shots that that was the final image we went with in the tutorial. I'm just going to go over the camera setup. Okay, the lens is 70 to 200 mm, and the shot, as I said, we're going to go with, I shot at 78 mm, and as I mentioned before, it mainly to do with, you know, I wanted to compress the perspective a little bit, and I'm going to show you a little bit more detail about that in a second. Exposure of 1/4 second at f/16, shot camera raw, 100 ISO, I manually focused, the autofocus is very, very good, but on landscapes and stuff like that, there's no real reason to use the autofocus. I'd be more worried about switching the autofocus on and it moving in between shots and me having a shot focus of, you know, in a place I don't want it to. So by focusing manually, you can set it up where you want it to and then just leave it. So that's the reason for that. Tripod, yeah, quite important. I mean, there's no way I could handheld at 1/4 second sharply, so definitely the tripod, and you know, get it tightened up and nice and secure. And I also, the other thing I did on this shot was I used a self timer on 2 second delay, or you could use a cable release. I have got a cable release, but I'm a bit lazy sometimes. You just put the timer on, and that helps give the camera a chance to settle down after you press the shutter button. It just allows the camera to settle down a bit, otherwise it's still wobbling slightly, and again on 1/4 second you're going to get a bit of camera shake on there, and you don't want that. So that's that. Lens choices. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit more into lens choices for you and have a chat. Okay, so we're just going to try something new. I've got a little bit of a kind of a highlighting bit of software so that I can help pass draw on screen, just help describe what's going on. This was shot with the same lens, 70-200, and basically, as I said before, it just helps compress perspective. So it'll bring the foreground. Oops, didn't want to do that. Let me just get the right thing up. Yeah, here we go. So it brings the foreground and background, and just kind of compressed it together. And same with elements like the trees here, just squashes everything together. Also, with longer lenses, they're very good for like things like headshots, because you can drop the focus on the images quite easily. For instance, if you shot at 5.6 on a shot like this, the background would drop off quite quickly out of focus. The same shot on a wide angle would look much sharper. So you that's the other things we're using, the longer lenses. It just gives you it enables you to drop the focus in the background more easily. The next shot I'm going to show you is a wide angle shot, so we'll just bring that one up. Okay, so with this one, we shot this one with a wide angle, a 28mm lens. That's working on a full frame sensor, sort of 35mm type format. And you'll notice here, you've got quite a bit of distortion in this picture. I've got very, very low to the ground here. And these cobbles are much larger in frame. They look a little bit skew with a lot of distortion, especially near the camera here. And then as it drops off, they get smaller very much quicker. You'll also notice that the actual Colosseum here is again a little bit skew with, it's kind of almost looming over, especially here. It's got like a, what they call a ship's bow distortion on it, which if I was there photographing buildings for, say, architects, then you wouldn't necessarily use a 28mm lens. You'd probably rather go for a longer lens, which gives you a much more natural look to the building. Saying that, you know, with 5.4 cameras, you can alter, you could use a wide angle on there if you need to, and you can alter the back of the cameras, but let's not confuse the matter. So that's really it. It exaggerates perspective and adds a bit of dynamics to the image, I suppose, bit of drama. Exaggerates the perspective, and also, you know, things appear much smaller in frame as they drop off there. So that's that one. Let's move on to another one. Okay, well, you might remember this one. When you signed up for Pro Photo Insights, I gave you a free ebook about photographing the edge of darkness, and this is one of the images that we covered in the book. This was shot on a longer lens. Now, the reason I shot this one on a longer lens was, again, all to do with that kind of looming over effect that you get with wider shots. I decided to get as far back from the Eiffel Tower on this shot as I could, and use a slightly longer lens again, and that gave me a more natural look to the tower. It's still probably looming a little bit, but if I'd gone much further in with a wide angle, it would have really been kind of standing over the top of me, and I didn't want that, not for this shot. Again, here you can see what's going on there, but let me just clear that a minute. New bit of software, don't know what I'm doing with it. Oops, don't want to circle either. There we go. Okay, let's start again. So you notice that these here are all, again, quite squashed together. Well, much more than they were anyway, actually, on the location. Again, with the posts, these are all being compressed, the distances between, and the distance from here to here has all been squashed together as well. And, you know, this, the Eiffel Tower, the base of the Eiffel Tower, is a good walk away from where I was shooting. It was probably, a good 10 minutes walk. So it just shows you, it really does foreshorten distances in the images. But more than that, like I said, it just gives you, especially tall buildings like this, it gives you a much nicer effect. But again, it depends what you want. You might want that big looming over effect, in which case you go for the wide angle. But there we go. And another one, just one last one, I should say. Okay, this one again, I'm kind of stretching force into perspective with a wide angle lens. Again, this, I keep saying that, don't I? Again, I apologise. It's kind of giving some drama to the picture. This line here, much larger at this end, and much smaller there. It very quickly drops off, and it's just added it a bit of excitement, and I think it really suits this image because it's like kind of fast flowing sports car. It's broadsiding and there's smoke pouring out, and it's you wouldn't really get the same kind of effect with a longer lens on this. So again, lens choice is very important, and you need to learn, you know, what different lenses, the effects they give, and in general that is it. The wide angles tend to exaggerate the perspective, and the longer lens tend to give a more of a kind of normal perspective. I mean, our eyes, if I remember rightly from back in my training days of reading and stuff, I believe our eyes are equivalent to about a 55mm lens, so that's why a 50mm lens is regarded as kind of standard. That's kind of the closest they you get to the human vision. So, you know, either side of that, you know, you get the longer lenses and the shorter lenses, and that's generally the effects they give. Okay, so this is one of the images that I shot during this series. I think I went out to three different locations over the space of 5 days. And this is one of the better locations. The lighting was quite nice on this one. The other ones weren't quite so successful in terms of the lighting. So this is the one I decided to retouch to show you. Basically, there's a little bit more to this image than meets the eye, but I'm not going to go in that that much depth in this tutorial, just because there's a lot involved. My original image was actually this, which is okay, but because of the sunset behind, we obviously lost the sky. Oops, lost the sky detail there. So I had to basically build a mask to mask all these fine details, the leaves, and obviously. That's quite a time-consuming process, or can be. It actually didn't actually take me that long. I've got a bit of software I use, but I don't want to go too much in depth of that at the moment. That's perhaps something we could look at on another tutorial. But I just wanted to show you that anyway. That's the sky I used. The drop-down opacity on a little bit, but if I just knock it up, we can have a quick look, so you can just see how the image is made up. So that's the sky from another shot. I think it might be shot in Greece or somewhere like that. So that's the one I decided to put in. It matched in quite nicely, and just retained a little bit more colour as well in that area. So anyway, on to the retouch of the image. I'm going to show you quite an advanced little technique on this one involving the colour, and it's once you've learned it, it's quite straightforward. But it's called LAB colour space. If you go up to image mode, and you'll see LAB listed there. Now, LAB is a very powerful colour space. There's a lot more you can do with it than I'm going to show you. There's a guy called Dan Margulis, I think his name is Dan Margulis. He's an American guy, and he's a bit of a Photoshop colour guru. He's a very much a specialist in colour within Photoshop, and he's written a few books, and he's written one on LAB. And I must admit, I've read it a couple of times, and it's a little bit hard going. It's quite in depth and quite techy, so I'm still kind of trying to soak all that up. But I'm going to show you a technique that I used, which is kind of derived from that book. It's may not be exactly the way he would advise you to do it, but it's the way I've kind of incorporated it, and it works for me, and that's the main thing. If it works, it works. So we'll take you through it. Okay, so here's our layered image. This is the picture spotted with the new sky in and ready to be adjusted. So what I'm going to do is click on the history panel and go to new snapshot. We're going to make a snapshot of the document, and I'm going to call it LAB color ADJ adjustment, and I'm going to pick out not full document, we don't need all the document. I'm going to pick current layer, and that would just pick out this layer here that we've got open. Okay, so then that brings up a snapshot within the history palette. You highlight that, and at the bottom here, you can create a new document. So basically, all I've done is taken my, rather than sort of flattening the image and saving it and then opening up again and all sorts of playing around like that, I basically just from within the document, I've basically just created a new version of it. So with that version active here, lab color adjustment, I'm going to go to image mode lab color. Now you'll notice not a lot's happened, which is okay, that's not a problem. We're going to go down to the adjustment layers and go to curves. Actually, before I do that, I'm just going to show you the channels palette here. Normally you've got the RGB, and you'll notice here we've got a lightness channel, an A channel, and a B channel. Now A and B contain all the color information of the image, and the lightness channel is basically a black and white channel, and these three make up the LAB channel there. So what we're going to do now is do a curves adjustment layer. We don't want the lightness channel, we want to pick out the A channel to begin with. I'm going to put a little stopper on there, right in the middle, just to help us, with the adjustment. The trouble, a couple of things I need to point out. LAB adjustments work better on images that are well color corrected to begin with, and are slightly flat. So, for instance, if you were to open an image that was shot in bright sunlight in California or what have you, very very sunny, very contrasty, and you took it into LAB to do what I'm about to do with it, you'd end up with some very very strange effects. I mean, give it a go, but it's ideally for what we're trying to do. You need a fairly flat image. So anyway. Here we go. We're going to have a little play around here. Just grab the top of the curve and just bring it across. Now you'll see already the image is going a lot redder. That's obviously taking it too far. So what I'm trying to do, basically, I want to try and basically bring out some of the, more of the colours in these trees. Basically, we've got kind of a very autumny colour, yellowy brown colour, and we've got some green. So one of the things lab does very well, which doesn't really work as well with just using hue and saturation, is it enables you to separate the colours that much better. It's very fiddly, these very fine adjustments, and you'll see in a minute it can be a real pain to get it right, but we'll give it a go. So what I want to do then, I want to just put my cursor over the image and just see where these tones lie in the image. Now this is going to be quite a pain because it's right in the middle there, but we'll give it a go. So I want to make these a bit more, bring out a bit more of the colour here. So basically I want to bring this curve up a bit to make the whole image go a little bit more red, and then just bring that bit down again. We don't want to affect the whole image if we can help it. And again there, we don't really want to affect the sky area, and by bringing this up here, it's going to do that. So let's try and bring that down a touch. As I said, this is going to be a bit of a fiddly one. We're working very close with these control points, and that's what makes it a little bit difficult to do. Okay, so we're just going to keep adjusting these a little bit more, just see where that brings us. We don't really want a magenta or warm cast all over the image, just in those parts we've already done. So I think that is going to be near enough it. Now just keep an eye on this area here. I need to bring that down a little bit now to bring the greens out, like so. Don't worry if we go to, it looks a bit OTT, because we always drop the opacity back once we've opened it up in Photoshop again. I'm just going to go to the B channel. I don't think we're going to need to do much here. This controls the basically the yellow and the blue in the image. We might put a little bit of yellow back in there, just keep it warm. But we certainly don't want to go too far. I've got to watch. I don't want this going too blue. So Yeah, I think that's gonna be about it. So I'm just gonna pin that down there. So I think that's gonna be about done. So that's the before, and that's the after. Let me just zoom in a little bit so you can see. Again, just remember we basically want to concentrate on this area, just separate these colours out a little bit. So that's the before. That's the after. Not a massive amount, but I think we'll see. There's a marked difference. So now what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go layer flattener. And then we're going to drag this into our master Photoshop file. Okay, so we flattened the LAB file, the adjustment layer, and now I'm just going to literally hold down my shift key and pick out my move tool and just drag it into our master Photoshop file there. And there we go. Before we do anything else, I'm just going to rename this LAB color so we know what it's all about. So let's zoom in again on top of there and show you before and after so far. So that's what we started off with, which quite a nice but bit flat. And now we've done is just really just added a real boost of color. But more important than the color, as I mentioned before, is that we've separated these tones in here a bit better. And now, just to show you that, I've just here I set up a little adjustment layer, a hue and saturation adjustment layer. So, but basically boosting the reds and yellows and the greens to add a bit extra color in there, and just to show the difference. So that's our original file. That's with a hue and saturation boost, like so. And this is with the LAB. It's a little bit more subtle, and as I said, I think you'll see that hopefully on screen that it separates the colours a bit better. That's the hue of saturation. That's LAB. It is a definitely a different effect on there than hue saturation gives us. But you best thing to do is try on whatever image you're working on and see what you prefer. It's certainly on a lot of the images that I've worked on is made a hell of a difference to the pictures. Certainly something I wouldn't have achieved with hue saturation. So now we can move on and we can adjust this a little bit, perhaps knock some of the areas back a bit that we're not so keen on. For instance, I'm going to add an adjustment, a layer mask, and I want to take away some of the foreground green. I think it's a little bit overpowering, so I'm going to paint that in it with black just to take that adjustment away from that area. Brings back a bit more of a yellow foreground to the picture, like so. That's with it disabled. That's with it on, so that just takes that back a bit. The rest of it, I'm not too, I don't mind too much. I think it's, we've adjusted it quite well. And again, you can see even in the hedge here, we've brought out these little subtle colour differences in the hedges, which just weren't visible before, not to that degree. So it's really separated them and brought out the colour quite well. And then I think the only other thing I might do is just again, don't like the blue in the top of the sky there. So I'm just going to just knock that out as well at the top there. Make sure we don't get that coming through. As I said, most of the adjustment we wanted with that effect is just in the hillside here. So I think that's it for the LAB conversion. So now we're just go in and tweak the curves on the tree and just basically just put a bit more atmosphere in the shot. Okay, so I'm just going to just show you the other adjustments layers I've made very quickly. No point going into lots of detail. I've done a selective lightning layer. Let me just turn those off a minute, which is this one here. And you just see that is just adjusting. I'll show you the layer mask. So it's not affecting this area or around the edges. It's just affecting the middle bit there, just lightening there. That I've then done another similar one, this time mainly on the tree and a little more contrast, which is that there. And then finally there I've made another adjustment layer, which is basically affecting the edges. So I'm just darkening the edges, not so much the sky. I've left that pretty much alone, but just around the bottom there, just to help keep your attention into the middle of the picture. That one I've set to luminosity. This one I've left at normal because I quite like the extra bit of colour it was giving. And this one I've put on luminosity and I've dropped the opacity to about 42%, and these other two are at 100%. I'm just going to rename that adjustments. I'd like to name all my layers if I can, just so I know what they are, and keeps them nice and tidy. So we're nearly there. What I need to do next is just to really sharpen the image up. And again, I'm not going to sharpen probably the whole image. I'm going to do an edge sharpen on the image, just to crisp up the leaves and the foliage. And I think we'll be nearly there. How I do that is you've got a lot of sharpening effects within Photoshop. I use a little bit of software called PhotoKit, Creative Sharpener, and that just gives me a lot of little preset different effects. As I said, it's just ease of use. You don't need to use them, but I can use Edge Sharpen. I've got Luminance Sharpen, High Pass Sharpener. I've also got sharpeners, which I also add a little bit of grain. So I'm just going to pick Edge Sharpener, and I can basically sharpen the image up, the edges of the image. I do that at full strength. You don't have to do it at full strength, but I do, and then I can knock them back a bit by using a mask or just drop the opacity back on the layer. So there's the set it's given me. I'm just going to show you how sharp that is. You can see on the just go to actual pixels. You can see on the leaves there what difference that's making. Now I probably don't want it quite that harsh, so I'm just going to it does need quite a bit of first sharpening. So no, perhaps just drop it back by 10% down to about 90%. And I don't think we're going to be far off on that then. But again, with this, you could add a layer mask to this and just allow the sharpening on the tree in the foreground. Let the rest stay fairly soft, and that again will help focus the viewer's attention on the areas that you want them to focus on, and on this picture. It's also this lovely tree in the foreground. So again, sharpness and colour can help you do that, help you direct the viewer's attention. Okay, I had 5-10 minutes just to go over the image and work out what else I need doing, I decided to add a little bit more contrast to the whole image, to just beef it up a bit. The way I did that, it was I created a new blank layer. I went to the layers palette here and I added a merge visible, but rather than flattening the whole image, I held down the Alt key, and what that does, it just merges all the layers into a single layer on top of the layers palette, like so. I then changed the blending mode from normal to overlay, which gives us lots and lots of contrast, too much contrast. So I decided just to knock that down to about 29%. In fact, I'll just delete that one now I've done it and show the one I did. So it's 29%, and that just literally adds a nice bit more contrast. Just beefs the whole image up a bit, and just increases the saturation as well. I did add a layer mask here. I just took a little bit of the effect away from the foreground there. So that's it. It's all done and done with. What I will do is I'll show you after this tutorial's finished. Show you a few other images that I've used the same technique on, the LAB technique. But go and do a search and check it out. I mean, once I've got a few more tips for you using LAB, then obviously I'll share them with you. But it's early days for me. I've not really had a chance to really delve right into it, and there's so much more to it than what I've shown you. But it's incredible, incredible workspace to work in. But it is a bit fiddly, and you know, you've got to have a little bit of restraint, especially with the images that I've already got. You know, a fair bit of contrast with them. But yeah, go and have a play around. Let's say do a search on Google for LAB color space or Dan Margulis. I'll put these name, spell it out properly for you, and put any links I've got at the end of the video. Anyway, thanks for watching again, and I'll catch you next time. Cheers.